Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Titans football plays here.
What a catch! Good!
The Sports Station, 104.5, The Zone.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. We are live today from Sweezy's Pub in Pleasant View. They have you covered for lunch today. And yes, they're open right now. They normally don't open until 11 a.m. They opened early for us. We thank them for that. And they have provided food, delicious food.
I also feel like the receiving line in Pleasant View has begun. We had a gentleman who's from here, lives here now, here with his young son, who said, "Welcome to God's country." As he walked in.
It's much more like a wedding receiving line than a funeral receiving line.
Yes, yes. Very live.
Celebration.
Very live.
All the food made in-house, too.
Yes. No processed food. All made in-house. We are munching right now on the buffalo chicken dip and the white cheddar dip. Both delicious. The eating has begun. And I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. Don't think it's going to end before 2 p.m. We're going to keep it going.
We are located 20 miles northwest, just off of I-24 in Pleasant View. Sweezy's offers daily drink specials, happy hour, 7 days a week, live music Friday and Saturday nights, and again, great lunch right now. It's the place for the widest variety of uniquely handcrafted subs right here in the Nashville area.
If you are out here in Pleasant View, if you're close by, swing in on your lunch break. They're open right now, normally open at 11 a.m., but stop in for lunch, say hello. This is a really cool spot. Also, you can win some Vanderbilt, Tennessee football tickets.
Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio joins us. He's back on Music Circle in the 104.5 The Zone studios. He joins us weekly, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Coach Mack, you're missing out today.
Guys, I'm sitting here with David Reed. There is zero food in this studio. There is no food in the studio. You're talking about buffalo wings and dips and receiving lines. And I mean, what? I mean, David, what do we get out of this?
Well, if David was there before you, there wasn't going to be food.
Especially if it's candy.
That's true. He's got two thumbs up through the window here. It sounds like that's a great place where you guys are.
Oh, it's awesome. We can't wait. We're just starting on the food here, and we're just starting with your visits with us over the next two segments here. A lot to get to. Titans win over New England. Now back-to-back road trips. Let's start with the upcoming one with Indianapolis. You watch a lot of film week to week. Compare this Indianapolis offense to last year's Indianapolis offense.
Well, it's not even close, Jonathan. I mean, it's an entirely different scheme. It's an entirely different setup. I mean, and plus, it's the offensive line. Let's start with them. I mean, this group is really, they're really good. I mean, they work in unison. I mean, I'm really impressed with the center guard triangle that they've got working there with Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly, the center, and then Glowinski, the kid from the fourth year guy out of West Virginia that's playing the guards. They're mobile guards, and they do a very good job of getting up to the second level. And then, you know, the left tackle, Costanzo, he's an eighth year player, and he's been there, you know, he's been a good player in the league for a while. And the right tackle, Braden Smith, is a big rookie that's doing a nice job for him. But a lot of this stems from what Frank Reich is doing with the scheme of this offense right now. He does not have Andrew Luck taking seven-step drops and standing back there and waiting for individual cuts to come open. I mean, he's got multiple layers of routes going on. And then there's five tight ends that are on this the 53-man roster, and they use them in a lot of ways. And you're going to have to defend multiple tight end sets, but just because they have, you know, multiple tight ends in the ball game does not mean they're all bunched up, you know, into a big, you know, run formation, because they'll use Jack Doyle and Ebron, who's having a great year. year, and Ryan Hewitt, and then Mo Alley Cox, you know, the kid that was a basketball player at Virginia Commonwealth. I mean, he's been on and off their practice squad for a while. I mean, he had a nice game against Jacksonville. The first three touchdowns they had, guys, I mean, they had tight ends running wide open off of their varied looks and their play actions. I mean, Jacksonville was cutting people loose. And then Andrew Luck is playing as good as I've seen him. He's healthy. And plus, this offense is really geared towards him. And I know a lot has been made about the fact that he hasn't been sacked. Well, he's getting the ball out quick. I mean, and he's not standing back there and holding it a lot. It's going to be a lot different defending him than it was Tom Brady, because, what Dean Pease did very well, he attacked that center guard triangle a lot with his blitzes. And Brady's not a guy that's going to beat you laterally, and he's not going to start moving horizontally out of the pocket. We all know Andrew Luck, you know, at his size and his athleticism, he's a guy you have to deal with when he starts being on the move. And then their running game. Now, you know, prior to this last game, they ran for over 200 yards a game in their last two ball games. They didn't have to run much against Jacksonville because of the success, especially in the first half, they were having early with their tight ends running wide open down the field. But Marlon Mack and then Nyheim Hines, that rookie out of NC State, you know, Jonathan, that we talked a lot about when we were doing the draft last year. I mean, this guy's a good compliment to what they do. This offense is, and I haven't even talked about their wideouts yet, you know, with T.Y. Hilton and Ryan Grant. I mean, this offense is entirely different from the one that the Titans faced last year in two games.
Let's circle back to tight ends you mentioned. The Colts doing a lot with their tight ends. The Titans have defended tight ends well, knock on wood, because it hasn't always been the case, particularly in divisional games. What have the Titans done so well? How much of it has been the matchups that they've had? And what do you kind of envision with the Ebron Doyle matchup in this game?
You know, Paul, and it's a good point that you make, but this is going to be a little bit different because these are multiple tight end sets, and as I said earlier, you know, when we were talking about this, the tight ends are not lining up in conventional tight end spots. I mean, they're not lining up, you know, 2.5 or 3 yards from the offensive tackle. They are spreading out. They are making 2 and 3 tight end sets look like 11 and 12 personnel or even 4 wides. They will spread out in that. In the last ball game when they started out against Jacksonville, they started the first series out in spread, no huddle. And did that for a while. Then they started huddling them up and started working a lot of motion with the tight ends, a lot of unusual sets and where they would be. And when you play teams like this, you know, in my experience and what I've done and what defenses will do, you have to identify. Are you going to identify, you know, those two tight ends in the game, depending on which ones they put in there? Are you going to identify that as pure 12 personnel? Are you going to identify it as 21 with your matchup? Or are you going to identify it as 11 because they're splitting guys out? And then when they go 13 with a 3 tight end set, then your matchups are going to have to come into play with the personnel that you put into it. You know, Ebron is really a big wide receiver, so I would expect to see, you know, some of your better cover safeties or your better cover linebacker on him. Now, when he splits out, the other thing people do with this and what Frank Reich is doing, Paul, is because you have these tight ends, when you start to move them out, if you're matching safeties and linebackers on them, they immediately get a man zone read off of you. So it's going to be interesting to see how we match up with these groups.
Ebron's playing the way that Detroit drafted him to play, right? I mean,
yeah,
the player they thought they were drafting.
Right. Well, he was a number one pick out of North Carolina, and he's been extremely up and down in his career, but he's had a rejuvenation there because this offense, and again, as I say, Frank Reich is doing it. Frank Reich is they've got an offensive coordinator, you know, they're in Nick Sirianni, but Frank Reich's the offensive coordinator. He's calling these offensive plays, and he's really done a good job of using Ebron. And Ebron has always been, he's never been a blocking tight end, but he's a really athletic receiving tight end. And he is looking like the guy that, as you said, that Detroit thought they were drafting.
Mac, whenever you watch Quentin Nelson, what do you see?
But, you know, full-grown man that came into the league, and some players come into the league and it takes them a while to figure it out. I mean, this guy is playing like a mature NFL player, you know, from jump. I mean, first of all, you know, with the size that, You know, you're talking 6'5", 330-pound guard that can move, has got great feet, has got great ability. I mean, he's extremely sticky anytime he gets somebody trying to rush on him. And plus, he's really, really good at pulling, and they use that a lot. They've got some mobile people on that offensive line, and so they're going to run a lot of what we call GO or GT plays, where they're pulling the guards and the tackles to get out in front of the running backs on perimeter runs. He can get to the second level. I mean, this is going to be a big time player in this league for a long time. I mean, he's everything that he was advertised, but when you watched him at Notre Dame and then, you know, at the combine, I mean, you could see, I mean, this was a guy that was going to be an immediate plug and play guy, whoever drafted him, and he's been that.
What are the chances we see Evans and Nelson have a few collisions in this game?
Oh, there's a real good chance. I mean, there's a real good chance because, again, as much as you talk about Andrew Luck, they can run the football, and with this offensive front, and that's what they do. And again, you talk about keeping your quarterback upright and your quarterback from being hit, which he has not been hit hardly any this year. I mean, running the football is a big, big part of that. And there's going to be some big time collisions in this ball game Sunday.
So this is an offense that averages around 29 points per game. But they're 4-5 on the season. So tell me about their defense. How many are teams moving it up and down the field on them? Are they bend, don't break? What's your assessment of that?
Well, defensively, you know, Matt Eberflus is the defensive coordinator. You know, he came through Dallas, so he's a 4-3 guy, and their linebackers are really the strength of this defense, starting with Darius Leonard, the rookie out of South Carolina State, who has just been making plays all over the field. They play a true 4-3, and they play a lot of zone coverage. You know, and a lot of it is cover two. It's too deep. You know, and their starters across the front, you know, Jabal Sheard's a 4th-year guy at one end, and then they got Margus Hunt, you know, out of SMU, who was a tight end and then moved to a defensive end in this league, but he's a massive human being, you know, 6'8", you know, 300 pounds. They can set the edge really well. What has happened is they've given up some plays through the air. Okay, you know, especially early on, they've settled down a little bit, but it's not a real complicated defense. It's a 4-3. They'll bring a little bit of pressure, but it's not a real intricate pressure that they bring. And a lot of things that they do, when you've got a team that can score like their offense can score, this is the type of defense that you're going to play. And it looks to me like, Jonathan, that what they've done now is they've started to get in sync and start to play some good complementary football in November, which is really what you need to do.
Hey, Coach, you just mentioned they do give up some plays through the air. I'm curious, from what you've seen from Corey Davis, have we seen enough good from him now that you can go into a game like this expecting Corey Davis to make some big plays through the air against the secondary?
Well, I'll tell you what, Chad, the first thing you can expect people to start paying a lot of attention to him. You know, they're going to start putting their best people on him. They're going to start doing, if they're, and not necessarily double, but if they're going to slice, what I call slice, work a safety down from the inside on him to be able to help a corner on him, play just one side of leverage on him, you're going to start seeing people pay more attention to him. And that's what happens as a receiver when you start making impact plays in the game. I know, as a defensive coach and a defensive coordinator, all the years that I did it, that's the first thing I would look at on film. You know, who is their go-to guy in the air? And then what type of attention do we need to pay to him? Do we just need to put our best man-to-man guy on him and then game plan around that? Or are we going to need some help because of the different type of routes that he runs? Are we going to have help from the opposite side to what I call slice coming down if he's running crossing routes? So we expect production from him, but you can also expect defenses to start paying a lot of attention to him.
We've talked a lot about Marcus kind of saying no to certain plays or telling LaFleur what he doesn't like in a given plan or after a week of practice. In your experience, what are the factors that go into a quarterback maybe not liking a play in a certain week or out of a certain group of practice?
Yeah, Paul, I mean, it's you know, they get a feel for things that they like to throw and things that they are comfortable with, and also things that they just feel they get into a rhythm with. And it's not because, you know, they are disregarding bad plays. It's not bad plays. It's just plays that they feel more comfortable with. And you can tell in practice. I mean, once, and especially even if you start putting some new concepts in, you know, game plan week by week, which everybody does, you always have your base game plan and your base things that you do, and then you try to build off of those when you're building game-specific game plans during the week, and then the little nuances that come off of it. You know, and some of them, you know, the quarterback will say, you know, on Thursday or on Friday, you know, I really like that. I feel comfortable doing that. Or he'll say, you know what, I don't think the timing's quite there. I just don't feel good with this. Can we shelf this for a minute and work on it a little bit longer? That's what it comes to. But before a quarterback can do that, Paul, he has to have a real good grasp of what his basic offense is. And once he gets that grasp of what his basic offense is, then he can start to pick and choose not only those basic plays that he still likes to run, but also the nuances that come off of it during weekly game plan sessions.
Coach Dave McGinnis with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Mac, what they've done as the Titans team after winning in back-to-back weeks over Dallas and then New England is they've given themselves an opportunity to take control of this division over the next two games. On the road, not easy matchups by any stretch, but winnable games against Indy and Houston with a chance to sit atop the AFC South in a couple of games.
Yeah, and again, you don't even look that far ahead. You've got to look at Indy, and Mike Vrabel and his staff do a really good job of that. And this locker room does a good job of that because, look, what you do, and especially once you get into November, you want to get into this month with a chance. And they've done that. They've given themselves a chance. But once you start winning games in November, the next game even becomes bigger because clearly your chances are running out, the number of games that you have left to play to make a move. And so this is the next big thing on the docket. I mean, they've had three really big things in a row. And, you know, you drop the one in Wembley, you know, by one. But you come back and you answer after the open date with two things that have put the Titans right back into the middle of everything, as you say. But you can't even think about what's ahead except for this week. Because if you look too far ahead and you stumble in one of these weeks, then you're trying to play catch up again. That's not what you want to do. You want to continue to build now on what you've done.
Titans taking on the Colts this Sunday. Titans radio coverage, 10 a.m. right here on 104.5 The Zone with the Lee Company Countdown to kickoff. 11 a.m. Titans Countdown. You can hear Coach Mac's thoughts right at 11 leading up to kickoff at noon, where he and Mike Keith will tell the play-by-play story of the Titans and Colts. Coach Mac, you have to listen in to the Andrew Luck Book Club podcast. This is the gift that keeps on giving for us. David Reed has a channel in the studio where he just turns it on for us, and we just listen in from time to time on Luck, on whatever book he's recently read, and he interviews the author as we listen in now.
Of course, David Reed does.
Welcome back to another episode of the Andrew Luck Book Club podcast, and I am thrilled to be joined by a friend, a great author, T.A. Barron, Tom Barron. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Andrew. Music. I'm delighted to be with you.
This is very exciting. I know we had a very chance encounter meeting for the first time on a boat going to snorkel in the Great Barrier Reef outside of Australia. That was a cool place to meet a famous author for an NFL quarterback.
It's also it really cool to meet a famous quarterback.
That was really cool. And I know we got to talk in a bunch and really enjoyed the conversation. And then you were kind enough to send over a couple copies of the Merlin Saga, which I read and then downloaded and bought a bunch more. And so I was thrilled to make the rookie book for this month, you know, The Lost Years, the book one of the Merlin Saga.
Coach Mac, what do you think about this?
Let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
This guy commands a room.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of, did y'all ever watch that Saturday morning show, that Mystery Science Theater 2000, where they would show movies,
and then
they'd have those little characters out front talking smack about it, you know, making fun of what was going on the screen. That's exactly what this reminds me of right here. Listen to him talk, and listen to you three stooges in the background commenting on it.
We don't even care what the guest has to say. When the guest begins to talk, we talk
about
over
to go
them.
To Amazon and buy the Merlin Saga now, also volumes 1 and 2.
I mean, you
here goes my Christmas gift idea.
David Reed and you three, of course, you guys would pull that up. Wow. Wow.
Looking forward to Indy. Thanks for the visit.
Hey, is Kirby Allen Kirby there?
Oh, he's here.
He's here, but he's out smoking.
Well, does he know that the FDA is trying to ban menthol cigarettes? That was in.
Oh, he's running in here now.
No, no. You tell him Coach Mack is looking out for him. I looked at U.S. Is Kirby there?
Yeah,
I'm here.
He says it's electronic cigarettes.
No, Kirby, it's menthol cigarettes. I read it in USA Today, and
I'm going to Washington, guys. Take the show.
No. I immediately thought
he's going
of
to march
you.
On the White House and the Capitol.
So I'm getting ready to go out right now, Kirby, just for you, and buy a box. Not a carton, a box. They come in big boxes off a truck. Your Christmas present, because it's getting ready to go away.
I love you, man.
Okay, thanks.
Somebody just tried to trade Kirby Smokes for something the other day. I think it was competent work.
I'll see you guys in Indy.
See you.
Right. He's right. I'm reading it. USA Today. FDA proposes ban on menthol cigarettes.
Why not just cut out menthol? You read it without menthol in it.
FDA proposes ban on menthol.
No, that read it without menthol. Okay. Take the word menthol out of it.
Yeah, cigarettes.
That's what the headline I'm waiting to read.